Okay, can y'all hear me? Man? All right, give me a second as I get set up here. But I also want to echo just how great retreat was, right? And meaningful, and if, thank you so much. Do I need to do something different? Thank you. I think it also will really tie well with what we are talking about today. Like we talked about being in the family of God and looking out for each other, caring for one another, and this passage talks a lot about casting our worries, our anxieties, our burdens onto God, and we all know that that also looks like the support and the help of other people in the community helping us carry those burdens. So we're looking at Luke 12 today, and we are continuing our series on Luke. So just as like a little reminder, if you haven't been here in a while or if you're new, the reason that we're doing this series going through Luke, we're doing each chapter each Sunday, and it's to kind of give us a picture of what Luke is about, but also to give us different moments of examples of who Jesus is and his character, and to highlight some different things about the characteristics of Jesus and his teachings and who he is as a person. Today, one of the main things that I really want to focus on through chapter 12 of Luke is how Jesus is our caretaker. And before I jump in, a few kind of little things to share that I was like, should I share these things? Should I not? And I talked to some people and I was like, okay, yes, I'm going to share some of these things. This last week, Monday, I've been slowly going off of my antidepressant, and Monday was the last day to be completely off, and I am incredibly emotional this week, so bear with me. I have literally cried every day this week. I think I've cried more this last week than I have in the last 2 years, so if I cry for a kind of unexplained reason, just that's why. For example, yesterday I was in the car listening to my favorite TV show recap podcast, and I just started crying about how much I love this podcast. So it's not like a super meaningful podcast. It's a comedy show. It's about The Office. If you ever watch The Office, you like The Office. So I was just bawling, like, I just love this show so much, and it's been so helpful. It's like, no, it's not, really. But, so, I really don't know. I hope that I keep it together, but we'll see. It's also just been a really crazy, busy week for us, so really, really good things and some hard things, too. So, we got to help out with the wedding yesterday, but we were there all day, so I'm a little tired. And I had some family drama and things that came up this week that were unexpected. So, I'm here. I'm really glad to do this sermon, though. And this chapter I selected and I picked because it has been really helpful to me specifically. So I hope that it is helpful to you. It's going to be a little bit shorter because I want to do an activity at the end that I think will kind of maybe give some practical, like, here's some ways that you can actually, you know, give these worries and these burdens to the Lord, or at least that's worked for me. So that's kind of going to be the flow of things. Okay, so Luke chapter 12. So now this chapter doesn't really hold back. It lays down some tough challenges for us, challenges to trust Jesus with everything instead of trusting, instead of stressing over what we need or want. And honestly, that's easier said than done, right? It's a struggle I can certainly relate to, and I'm sure many of you can too. So at first glance, this chapter might feel kind of like a gut punch, a relentless reminder of our shortcomings and struggles. But if we pause and we listen, I think we'll find that amidst the challenges that Jesus is giving us, there's an invitation waiting to be embraced. This chapter to me is kind of like those old cassette tapes, if you ever used a cassette tape. But growing up, we'd listen to those, and on one side, there's side A and there's side B, and you have to flip it over to hear the rest of the message or the rest of the story. And this chapter is kind of like that. I think immediately we see side B or side A. We understand, okay, the challenge that Jesus is giving us. If we don't look past that challenge, I think we'll miss the invitation that he's really giving us. So that invitation, I think, is a life liberated from the shackles of selfishness, vanity, greed, and pride. It's an invitation to live in the light of the kingdom, both now and in the future. And in essence, it's Jesus offering to take care of us and trade our burdens for an abundant life, which is such good news. So let's break down the sermon into kind of two thoughts. One being Jesus' challenges and challenge that we see in this passage, and then his invitation. So those are kind of the two parts. Because amidst this tough love, there is an outreached hand offering us hope, peace, and life filled with his care. Okay, so here are some of those challenging points that he makes in Luke 12. In verse 4, he says, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you who you should fear. Fear him, fear God. After your body has been killed, he has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear God." Strong words. In verse 13 through 21, Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool, who illustrates the folly of prioritizing material wealth over spiritual richness, echoing warnings against selfish accumulation without regard to God. And in verse 15, he says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." I have a lot of stuff, and I like my stuff. "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." Sometimes it feels like my life is only about food and clothes. "Who of you," this is verse 25, "who of you by worrying have added a single hour to your life?" I most definitely have. 29, "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things." Verse 33, "Sell your possessions, give them to the poor." Verse 25, "Who of you by worrying have added a single hour to your life?" Okay, so we see Jesus highlighting these various risks of fear, worry, and greed in these verses. Jesus emphasizes the risk involved in allowing worry to consume us. He knows that worrying about the uncertainties of life can paralyze us, robbing us of peace and joy. It's like being trapped in a never-ending cycle of fear and apprehension, unable to fully live and experience the abundant life that God desires for us. Similarly, Jesus warns us against the dangers of greed. He understands how the insatiable desire for more can lead us down a path of selfishness and discontentment. Greed blinds us to the needs of others and distorts our priorities, causing us to chase after material possessions at the expense of our own spiritual well-being. And then there's fear, the ever-present threat that lurks in the shadows, ready to pounce at any slightest sign of trouble. Jesus knows that fear can hold us captive, preventing us from stepping out in faith and trusting in God's provision. It breeds insecurity and doubt, undermining our confidence and weakening our belief in his power and his ability. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just highlight the risks. He also offers us a way out of these things. He invites us to cast aside our worries, greed, and fear, and instead place our trust in God's unfailing love and his provision. He calls us to seek first the kingdom of God, knowing that when we prioritize his reign in our lives, everything will fall into place. So for me, within the last year and a half, Tate and I have gone through a lot of pretty difficult and trying situations, and you've heard me talk about some of this up here before. So it's really hard to read these verses and feel like it's even possible to accomplish some of these. It's really been, for us, one of the hardest years that we've faced. I've been faced with how much I care about my possessions, financial situation or insecurity, my own health. All of these things have kind of come into risk or at play. And as many of these things have been removed or changed in our lives in the last 18 months, I've really had to grapple with, you know, what do I really value? Yeah. And where is my hope and my security in all these things? So to kind of break down a couple of things, I just think some of this might be helpful. Back in May 2022, Tate was let go from her job, which was our main source of income. And I was in grad school, working only part-time, and in the middle of my degree, so there wasn't really the option of, like, I mean, I could quit, but I didn't want to. It's like I'm halfway. And it took her a total of 9 months to find another full-time position. She applied to so many jobs, so many interviews. She was able to get a part-time job, but we needed her to have a full-time position. So that really took a strain on our finances, and it was really hard. So then 6 months later, after she lost her job, I became unexpectedly very, very ill. Left side of my body started going numb. I became very, very, like, achy and tired. I could hardly, like, get up out of bed. I was having anxiety attacks. My heart was just pounding, pounding, pounding. Very, very, like, worried, and had a hard time putting, like, my words together, collecting my thoughts, just, like, boom, all of a sudden, and it felt like a wire was cut, like something in my body went wrong. And a lot of these symptoms are still ongoing for me, and we're still trying to figure out exactly what is happening. So then a few months after that, Tate was still unemployed, and my car broke down. And died, and we did not have means to get another car. And then a few months after that, we discovered that we had black mold in our house, and we had to move abruptly. We also assumed that maybe this is some of what was contributing to my health issues. And we had lived in that house since we'd been married, so the last 5 years, and I'd lived in that area for 10 years. I loved living in that house. We had done so many great things, so many great memories. Lots of you had come, and we'd had parties, events, things, whatever. So it's really, really hard to have to leave that place so unexpectedly. And I could actually keep going with things that have happened in the last 18 months. But we were just wrecked with uncertainty on how we would even be able to make ends meet at times. I was incredibly worried about how we would pay for doctor's visits when I needed to go to the doctor and figure out what was going on and appointments. And we just didn't have money we needed to move and find a new place, and we weren't in the position to do that. So I'll be honest, it was incredibly challenging for me to embody the mindset that is free of worry, fear, greed, all of these things, in the midst of all these challenges and so many changes to those things that brought me so much stability and security. But, however, these experiences have brought a deeper understanding of the passage in Luke 12. I realized that Jesus' challenge isn't just about summoning willpower to overcome worry or greed. It's about recognizing his deep care for every aspect of our lives and his willingness to carry our burdens. So this realization kind of now sets the stage for this invitation that Jesus is giving us to trust him, to trust in his care, which is so beautifully illustrated in Luke 12:22 through 32. Amidst the tough talk about worry and greed, Jesus extends a helpful hand in this passage, offering us solace and reassurance. He gently directs our attention to the birds and the flowers, showcasing God's provision for even the smallest creatures. Consider the ravens, he says. They never sow nor reap, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? In this way, Jesus invites us to shift our focus from anxiety to trust, from self-reliance to dependence on God's provision. He calls us to embrace the assurance that if God cares for the birds and for the flowers, how much more does he care for us? It's an invitation to release our worries and fears, knowing that we are deeply loved and cared for by our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 5, 6-7 says this in the Amplified Bible translation. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time. Cast all your cares, all of your anxieties, all your worries, and all of your concerns, and once for all, cast them on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Essentially, this chapter portrays Jesus as a compassionate caregiver, ready to shoulder our burdens and offer us relief. He doesn't just leave us hanging, he offers us the kingdom. Verse 32 reassures us of this. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So let's be honest, exchanging our cares for the cares of the kingdom isn't always easy. It's a daily battle, especially in the face of financial, physical, emotional, relational stress. And I've personally grappled with these challenges and feeling at times like God wasn't helping or that relief was nowhere in sight. But through it all, I did my best to cling to the belief that he was present, which really, the song we sang earlier was so great, that there are those moments, even if we don't feel like he's there, choosing to believe that he is present, that his spirit is guiding and providing for us even in those darkest moments. But the main thing that has really brought me hope in these difficult months is knowing that he will return one day and make everything right. And I should also say that he has provided for us tangibly too. Through the kindness of many of you and family, we've received so much generous financial support, help moving, offers for us to live with people, emotional and physical care too. And these acts of generosity have humbled me and reshaped my perspective on what truly matters. So as we navigate life's uncertainties, let's lean into the assurance that Jesus is our caretaker. He sees our struggles, he hears our prayers, and he promises to return one day and to make all things right. We find our ultimate source of hope and provision in him. So, in conclusion, in Luke 12, Jesus presents both a challenge and an invitation that cuts straight to the heart of our daily struggles. His words may seem harsh at times, but they stem from a deep desire for us to experience true freedom in the kingdom. You see, Jesus isn't interested in just offering us temporary solutions or shallow comforts. He wants to uproot the worries that weigh us down and replace them with his unwavering care and provision. His call to dump our worries at his feet isn't a casual suggestion. It's a profound invitation to change our burdens, exchange our burdens for peace. But why does Jesus issue such a radical call? It's because he knows that true freedom is found in surrendering to his care. When we release our grip on worries and anxieties, we make room for his love and grace to flood our hearts. It's in this surrender that we discover the abundant life that he does promise us. And we can't forget about his kingdom, both here and the kingdom to come. Jesus invites us to look beyond our present circumstances and to fix our eyes on his eternal kingdom. reign. His kingdom isn't just a distant dream. It's a present reality that offers us hope in the midst of these difficult circumstances. So let's embrace Jesus' offer with open arms. Let's lay our worries at his feet and allow his care to wash over us. And as we go, as we do, let's fix our gaze on his kingdom, finding hope and purpose in the promise of his everlasting reign. Okay, so the exercise that I want us to do, and some of you have heard me kind of talk about this or explain this before, but this has been a really, really helpful kind of practical thing that when there's all of these different burdens and worries and things going on that are so hard to like remove myself emotionally from, and even sometimes physically, you feel it in your body. It's helped to shift when in my prayer from saying things like, "Lord, just help me to not worry about, you know, our financial debt," to, "Lord, I give you my financial debt. Like, I give that worry to you." Yeah. And saying, like, "Lord, help me with my financial debt," is not, I'm not saying that's a bad thing to pray or anything like that. I'm just saying that that shift in language has really helped me to actually hand it over. Yeah. And then to wait and see what he might hand back in exchange. Mm-hmm. Because he is good, and that's what he does. So what I want us to do is just to write down some of those things. You know, what are some of those burdens, those worries, those anxieties, anything, pride, greed, things you're really dealing with that you're just having a hard time doing what he's talking about in this passage, handing over to him and trusting him with instead. List some of those things out, then go through them one by one. So start with one of them and use the language something like, "Lord, into your care I give you my worries about our finances. I give you my worries about my health and how I feel today. I give you my worries, my insecurities about who I am and how I'm able to perform at my job." Or, "I give you the stress and the doubt that I have about my career or my degree that I'm working on." Be specific about those things, not just like, "I give you my anxiety, I give you my worry," but what specifically? And then, once you say that, then take a moment and just listen to see what he might give back to you in exchange of that. And I know that that's a hard task. Sometimes we don't know what he's saying. We might not really hear anything. So then I encourage you to, I put some, yeah, some scriptures, just a few, that you could read that I think could give you some prompting on what he might say into you in return. And even if you're not sure what he might be saying, if you do know him already, what might he say? Like, what do you think he might say in exchange? Even if you don't know that that's him that's saying it, what might he say to you in exchange? And write that down. Write down what you think he is saying or what you think he might say or a scripture that was helpful to take in place of this burden that we're laying down. So then once you've done one, then just move to the next one and keep going down your list. And I want to say, like, I'm doing this activity to switch things up. I'm not specifically to just, like, switch things up and do something different and cool and fun. I'm doing this because it really has been helpful to me. Like, it has been, I think, the best way that I've actually been able to make that exchange, that, like, holy exchange, where I'm, like, getting something back in place of these burdens. So I hope, and my prayer is that maybe this will, if this isn't super helpful for you, that's okay. Like, this isn't going to, like, fix everything for you. But maybe this will lead you to, like, thinking of, oh, maybe if I shift my language in these ways or that ways, then that might help my prayer life a little bit and my conversation with God. So, okay, so we're just going to have, let me see what time we're at. So we'll have like 5 minutes or so, and we will, you do this individually. We'll have some music playing in the background. You don't need to say these prayers out loud. This is specifically like to yourself in your head. You can move around the room, you can stay in your spot, you can go outside, whatever. But yeah, any questions on that? Is the instruction clear enough? Okay. All right, so we'll go ahead and start with that, but I'm going to pray first, and then we'll end with one song, and then we'll be done for today. Lord, thank you so much for your invitation to provide and to care for us. Lord, help us to entrust that you are there, even when it doesn't seem like it, and to really be persistent and willing to fight to give these things over to you and to trust that you will give us something good in exchange. Lord, just be with us here and now in this space as we commune with you and we talk with you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for our sermon podcast. We would love for you to join us on Sunday morning or in one of our small groups during the week. And you can get more information about that at DentonNorthChurch.com.